Hello. Thank you very much to be here for the presentation of the business plan, new business plan of Banco BPM. Before leaving the floor to our CEO, Giuseppe Castagna, and our joint general manager, the CFO, Edoardo Ginevra, let me remind that the presentation you can find on the website, in investor relations page, and then there will be a section of Q&A reserved to financial analysts. The first we will start for the analyst present in the room, and then we will pass also the for the question for the analyst link with the conference call. Now I leave the floor to Mr. Castagna. Thank you very much to be here.
Thank you, Roberto. Good morning to everybody. An important day for us. We are the first bank to present a new business plan in an environment which is quite complicated to understand, but we'll do our best. We'll give you especially all the setup information that we utilized in order to build up the plan. The plan, we call the plan a solid success story because we feel that over the past 7 years we have built up, thanks to our committed team, to the engagement of all our colleagues, we were able to deliver a good result, but we are now ready to improve even more the capability to deliver results thanks to what we have built up during the recent year and especially the recent month in terms of the completion of a credit factory or product factory activity. This plan is the continuation of our story in terms of cleaning up and readiness in terms of balance sheet to support the profitability. Now we are really ready to exploit all our potential, not only with the new product factory, and namely with, of course, all the range of bank assurance product, life and non-life, and payment system activity, but also to improve the effectiveness of our business, both in corporate, enterprise, affluent, and private. Because, of course, during these years, we have been able to understand better how the business model has to improve and how our clients are ready to exploit even more than now the digital offer that we have been building over the recent year. All these things together lead us immediately. Let's start with the first page of the plan, with the what maybe is more interesting for all of you, which is the final result of this cumulative year of the plan. We think that we will be able to build up 6 billion in net income over 23-26. 4 billion of which we want to distribute to our shareholders, with a final year reaching over, reaching 1.5 billion of net income, which means 13.5 ROTE, with an implied cost of a common equity tier one, at the end of the plan of 14% and never below 13% over the duration of the plan. How we will be able to deliver this result, we will do it through, at least the presentation is built up in order to give you the effect of the improvement of the 7 main pillars of the plan that you will see on the bottom side of the slide, which are related, of course, to the main business on the left, so corporate, SME, wealth management, private, life insurance, payment system, and on the reinforcement of our digital and ESG strategy fully integrated into our business line, a strong enhancement of our tech infrastructure leading to innovation and improving cybersecurity, a further consolidation of the solidity of our balance sheet in terms of capital, in terms of credit risk, in terms of liquidity and funding. And finally, as always been our, let's say, DNA, the dedication to the empowerment of our people and our communities, which is always been a priority for our bank. Let's go quickly on this figure. A quick recap about our current situation. As you know, we are based, we have an optimal geographic footprint. We have almost 13% of market share in Lombardy. 78% of our loans are granted in the four main regions of north of Italy, plus Tuscany. And we will see what that means in terms of potential growth. We have concluded the financial conglomerate with the highly specialized product factory, recently concluded again with the PNC life insurance and PAYCO agreement. What we have done up to now, we have been able to already deliver a good result. Let me remember that in 23 we will have a net income which is double vis-a-vis 21, a common equity which stand at 14.3% as of Q3 23, and we stay above 14% even with the improvement of the shareholder remuneration that we forecast for this year. Going back to the geographic presence, what that means? Means that basically we have 78% of our loans in the five regions where is produced the 56% of the national GDP and where there is the 72% of the total export of all Italian company. That means that we are really well placed in order to take whatever rebound in the economy should happen and in the next quarter. And we are quite confident that after 23, which was quite quiet in terms of macro, we can take advantage in the next few quarters of the recovery of the economy, which we envisage together with the potential reduction of the interest rate starting from the second part of 2024. Again, on the product factory, I go back to this just because, as I mentioned, is one of the main factors which we will enable us to offset a potential reduction in NII. As we know, the interest rate reduction that we forecast again starting from the end of 24 will impact on NII in the next years. We have, in the last 12 months, built up the new factory, which allow us to offset almost completely the reduction of NII. We will see the figure in a short time. But what can I say? What I want to say is that this activity on the product factory give us two streams of revenues. One, of course, comes from the increase of fees and commission coming directly from the increased activity that we think we can have having directly the ownership of the factory. The second one is the income from the same counterparties, from the net income that we will produce by the factory, that of course will impact almost as a net profit in our balance sheet. Coming back to the journey we have done in the last 7 years, I won't go back to the different phases of our restructuring, reorganization, and value creation that is, of course, the give us the possibility to present this plan. Let me just remind some very important figure of this year. We have been reducing the branch network of almost 1,000 branch from 2,300 to 1,350. We have reduced that count by 5,000 unit. So far we have a cost income which went down by from 64% to 48% of Q3 23. Not mentioning what you all know very well, which is the massive, impressive reduction of our NPE portfolio. We started with more than 30 billion. We grow up, of course, during the year with the new inflow of NPE, but reaching now, as of 30 of September 2023, a total amount lower than 4 billion, the total de-risking was almost 35 billion, without asking capital or support to our shareholders, all financed by our own activity and our capability to produce profitability and to exploit the capital management action. And in so doing, the gross NP ratio went down from 24% to 3.5%. Also in terms of profitability, we have been starting growing massively over the recent years, going basically from zero of ROT to 12% of 23, and again building up further capital from 11% to 14.3%. Why we are doing a new plan? The previous plan was expiring, was due to expire in 24, but of course market condition and interest rate rise gave us the opportunity to make a better result, not only vis-à-vis 23 business plan, but also to the final end of the business plan. As you can see, just to mention one figure, net income should have been 740 million in 23, according to the old, to the current plan, and over 1 billion in 24. We are, as you know, we have a guidance of more than 1.2 billion already for 23. And the same is basically for all the other main figure of the plan. And this, of course, convinced us that was the case to present a new plan with a new opportunity we think is worth to explain to the market. All this has been always accompanied by a strong approach in digital and sustainability. Let's say that we have basically reduced from 40 million to 23 million, having in mind pre-COVID and the current results. The transaction in the branch were reduced, were basically halved from 40 million to 23 million. On the opposite, we have three times the transaction made by app, so on mobile directly. The total remote transaction are higher than 85% of the total transaction of the bank. But also the sales that come from the omnichannel activity are three times, are almost four times the level of pre-COVID, which was only 11%. Now we are at 40% of omnichannel driven sales of product. In terms of sustainability, we have joined the Net Zero Balance Alliance. We have defined our five priority sectors, which are oil and gas, power gen, cement, coals, and automotive. We will be giving, by the end of 24, our target for each of these industry. But in the meantime, we already started with the new transition, the new environmental transition, the new energetic transition. We have reached already in the first year 60% of the new loans to corporate and SMEs being green and low transition risk. We have granted 500 million of new loans to non-profit sector. We have been in 2022 the first bank in terms of issuing of green and social bonds, and we were the second in 23 with a total issuing of higher than 4 billion during the two last years. Also in terms of environmental impact, we have been reducing in the last years 54% the scope 1 and 2 emission. We have devoted a lot of attention to our environment, our people, our communities, devoting a well-due attention to the young talent and women empowerment. We have increased by 33% the women in managerial position since 2020. Also in terms of governance, we have established the sustainability committee at board level in April 23, so this year. And we have inserted, like in the previous business plan, the ESG KPI, both in short-term and long-term managerial remuneration policy. As well as for the rating agency, for the bank that, as you know, have been improving, all the rating agencies now give us an investment grade. The same is for ESG rating agency that have been improving massively our standard and our rate during the latest month. All these brought to a good result, I would say, also recognized by the market. Our share price during the last years, the 7 years of the merger, was the best performer amongst the EU bank. But all this doesn't mean that there is no more room. We think that there is a lot of room to improve further our performance based both on the figure that we will show you and will allow our bank to perform with an higher profitability and a stronger remuneration to shareholders, but also because, as you can see on the right side of the slide, the price earning is still very low, it's below 6, and the average over the 7 years was between 8 and 9 if you consider the PE of our bank or the PE of the banking system of our competitor. That means that we have two levels of possible increase, one linked to our results, the other linked to the market perception of the category of the banking industry. Let's go to how we built the plan, what are the underlying assumptions. Let's say that in terms of GDP growth, we have assumed a very prudent stance. We feel that in 24 we will have a slower reduction of the GDP registered in 23. We are at 0.6% with a slow recovery in 25 and 26, always below 1%, a bit lower than EU level. In terms of CPI, we feel that on the opposite, the maneuver of the ECB are producing good results. We feel that starting from 24, we will have an inflation at ECB target level close to 2%, and the same for the rest of the business plan. This will produce also a reduction of the interest rate, both at ECB level, where we envisage for each year of the plan two reduction of 25 basis points per year, starting from H2 24. And of course, as a consequence, a reduction of the Euribor. But we feel there are also opportunities, of course. Just to mention three of them, of course, talking about macro and not idiosyncratic opportunities that we will see further on. The first one is that, of course, the Euribor growth is a booster for NII. But maybe we cannot say for sure that the opposite is true. At least if we compare the current situation with the 3% of average Euribor, 3 months Euribor in the first half of 23, we have, as a banking system, we have a contribution of NII on total asset, which is 1.7%. If we consider the previous situation in which we had a lower interest rate before the reduction below zero of the recent 10 years, we see that also with an average Euribor of 1.4% in 2011, we had a NII on total asset which was exactly the same of this year. So we feel that the possibility to maintain amongst the different pieces of deposit, loans, govies, funding of the bank, can be in a way counterbalanced to obtain good results from NII. Again, of course, we have also other countermeasure that comes especially from the increase of fee and commission. But this is just to say that we don't expect a material reduction of NII due to the possibility to manage different pieces of the NII contributors. The second macroeconomic aspect is that we never had so long and so low default rate in the recent years. We are in the third year in a row at below 1%. If you compare this with 2015, we have reduced four times the level of default rate from 100 index number to 27. And this, of course, comes from the macro, but comes also from the capability of the Italian banks to have new standards in credit management, of course, guided by the regulatory, but also by the capability to grant better credit, to monitor the credit, to detect early warning in order to capture before the inflow into deterioration the loans of the bank. The third favorable macro situation is the systemic charges going to zero, possibly, of course, given for granted the current regulation. As you can see, in 2021, the systemic charge at the banking level were worth 20% of the net income of the banks. 24 will be 5% of the net income. As you know, one of the two systemic charges disappear in 24, and in 25 we will possibly have no effect of this charge on the net income results of the banking system. Finally, I would say, let's see some figure of the new plan compared to the old plan. Of course, there is a boost in total revenues, which is driven by the growth, again, especially of the commission. Compared to the plan, of course, there is also embedded a growth in the interest rate. There is a reduction of cost income below 50%, notwithstanding the recent increase of cost of labor. There is a cost of risk which goes prudently to 45 basis points. As you know, we have always been, I would say, the most prudent or one of the most prudent bank in the approach of cost of risk, maybe due to the difficult history that we started 7 years ago. And let's say that 45 basis points will only reduce a bit the gap between our competitor and ourselves. This will lead to a reduction to 3% of the NP ratio compared to the below 5% of the previous plan, an increase of 50% of net income above 1.5 billion, and a ROTE massively higher to 13.5% compared with 9% of the last plan. The Common Equity Tier 1, which at the end of plan should be 14%, allow us to forecast a very strong remuneration policy, 4 billion out of 6 billion, which represent more than 50%. As of today, yesterday, it was 53% of our current market cap, and 4 billion if we compare this remuneration to the previous 4 years is 5.5 times the previous remuneration. This is basically, I will pass the floor to Edoardo Ginevra, which will brought you into the volumes analysis and the main P&L factors.
Thanks a lot, Giuseppe. Good morning, everyone. So let's describe the path to achieve the targets that were illustrated in the previous page. Basically, the first point is about volumes, where we are planning a moderate evolution of in the balance sheet, 1% growth rate in loans and stable amount of total deposits, meaning basically that we need to come back to our previous pace of growth in terms of new lending, of business activity in terms of new lending. What we mean here is that we need to continue to perform the role that the commercial bank must perform, so provide financing to the economy and at the same time offer safe savings products and investment solutions to our clients. In the area of deposits, the point will be about preserving the stabilized current level of retail funding by using with a wise approach, time deposits to be offered to those clients that may be more price sensitive. In the area of indirect funding, we have hit the 100 billion mark in September. We are now at almost 40 billion for asset under custody in September, which have been increased. We are now at around 43 billion now, and this will increase up to 50 billion, whilst assets under management will increase from 60 to 70 billion based on new inflows for 7.5 billion, the rest being represented by market effect. Needless to say, bearing in mind what Giuseppe said about the role of our new product factories, the growth in assets under management will leverage mostly upon the drive in new life products. Turning to the P&L, this is a snapshot of in page 18 of the high-level figures. So total revenues will increase from an expected figure of 5.25 billion to 5.4, driven mostly by the increase in the contribution of the product factory in a comprehensive perspective, so bearing in mind both the commission contribution and the insurance revenues contribution, on top of course of the results from associates, with an increase from around 800 million to around almost 1.2 billion. Net income increases from 1.2 guidance this year from about 1.2 guidance this year to about 1.5, with the return on tangible equity going to 13.5% from the current expectation of 12%. It was only 7% 1 year ago, 5.5 the previous year. Cost income, which has been reported at 48% in the 9 months, but which will be influenced by the increase in cost for personnel for the renewal of the national labor contract, will be kept below 50% based on a number of actions we are going to describe in short. For cost of risk, as you mentioned already by Giuseppe, we will keep a prudent approach, and the landing point will be at around 45. Basis points in 2026 compared with the current 47, and bearing in mind that we have seen in the market other reference points that are below this level. So key way to understand the shape of the future P&L is to start from the pre-provision income bridge. We will go from 2.65 billion to 2.75, with a lot of moving parts. Most important, core revenues are expected to increase 300 million. And this is the result of negative contribution from NII, 200 million, where we will experience increase in funding costs, but we will balance this increase in funding costs, at least in part, by active with the usage of active ILM strategies. For net fees and commission, we will deploy a commercial effort, which again, we repeat, will leverage on the product factories to improve the contribution from both banking products and wealth management solutions. And again, coming back to product factory, 200 million are expected from additional revenues from insurance and additional revenues from associates. Costs, the last point we want to mention here, is that the impact of network rationalization and streamlining in process at central level compensates for the headwinds that are due to the inflation to the national, the new national contract, and leave room to deploy the additional investment needed to modernize our banking platform. Let's go to one by one the most important P&L components. NII, reduction from 3.25 guidance for this year to 3.05 billion guidance from 2026. With a reduction of 100 million from or contribution from loans and deposits. Here, the dynamics are expected to be an increase in the cost of deposits. I remind you that we expect to have a higher share of time deposits on our deposit base, but this will be compensated mostly by an increase in the overall rate on our lending portfolio, with the back book refreshing with new loans at the new level of rates. Finance, treasury and funding is where there is a lot of effects compensate each other. First of all, the key point is that we will increase, we are committed to increase our level of institutional funding. You will see in short this is a difference of 8 billion from the current starting point. These reinvested at treasury rates will lead to a negative difference of around 400 million. And will be compensated in part by an increase in the contribution of securities portfolio for around 200 million. Needless to say, we will also be able to factor in the business plan the effect of the recent upgrade in our rating. So the effects that we have estimated here are prudent and may have marginal improvements due to the progressive stabilization of our spreads, funding spreads, at levels comparable to our investment grade status. Coming to derivatives, this is one of the most widely discussed topics in this rate environment since expectations of reduction rates have established. We expect a positive contribution from the replicating portfolio, additional contribution of the replicating portfolio based both on the yield curve evolution and on increase of the size of this portfolio, which will be pushed from the current 15 billion to 25 billion during 2024, leaving a smoothening of the total reduction for around 150 million. Commissions are easier to explain. Here we will have a transition from 1.8 billion to 2.1 billion, and this is for 200 million from wealth management and other key product factories that are shown in the bottom of the page, and going from 650 to 850 million, and 200 million from the lending-related business, cash management and other, with a partial offset coming from the continuation of our activities in the synthetic securitization market and the phase-out of the ecobonus. Life insurance and associates, here we start from the current expectation of around 50 million for this year. We will internalize the companies that are currently within Generali Group, and this leads to around 30 million effects at 2023 data, which is a peculiar year. This has been penalized by the spike in interest rate. In a normalization environment, we expect this contribution to increase significantly via especially higher CSM amortization, leaving to an additional 70 million and to a total of around 150 million. Comments on income from associates, only to say that this will increase. This is the residual part of the associates once we strip out the life insurance. Here we will have from around 120 to around 180, mostly represented by the usual suspects that are listed in the bottom of this page. So Anima, Agos, Bancassurance, the new JV on Bancassurance, and the new JV on payments. On costs, as I said earlier, we will, first of all, deploy a dedicated effort to compensate for the effects of inflation. 160 million expected from the impact of the new labor contract, 50 million already to be included in the guidance for the expectation for 2023, 2.6 billion, and some inflation effect on general expenses, non-HR costs. Our actions, cost containment actions, will be focused, first of all, in the network, with a reduction of around 100 branches, leading to a total of 1,250, with the phase-out of some 400 cash desk, whose resources will be redeployed to commercial activity. At the same time, we will also work on a streamlining of our operating machine at central level. This will be enabled, the two efforts will be enabled by a new headcount reduction plan, which will lead to 1,600 exits replaced by 800 young hires, a plan that is expected to be implemented starting from next year, from 2024. The final component here is that we will deploy investment. We will see in a second some figures on these, which will definitely create additional impact on the P&L, but these are investments that will contribute to the rejuvenation, to the modernization of our platform. The investments are increased 20% versus the previous baseline and are aimed mostly to transform the way the bank work, also using analytics, machine learning and generative AI. Talking about investment, this is page 23, a high-level presentation, 20% increase, as I already said, versus the previous three-year period, from 500 to 600 million, with a wide array of areas of investment, where we want to emphasize that these areas will be fully integrated with the support of our ESG strategy. And just to limit myself mentioning the most important ones, digital tools, further development of digital tools, non-channel solutions, usage of advanced analytics into credit processes, AI and GenAI solutions, cybersecurity, which will be another very important focus of our plans, operations automation, and last but not least, regulatory compliance. Credit risk, we cannot avoid in presenting a plan to remind to the market the starting point, 24% NPE ratio, 268 cost of risk. Now we are at 3.5%, 47 basis points of cost of risk, from 30 to 3.9 billion of total stocks. The expectation is to continue in the reduction trend, to land at around 3% with 3.5 billion, building upon the historical performance drivers, portfolio quality, proactive credit management, the risking we have successfully performed, the new additional performance drivers, reinforcements in the credit granting and default prevention, improved recovery performance and creation of additional capacity in workout, and the opportunity to exploit the high share of state guarantees in the banking book. Capital is we start from 14 and we arrive at 14. First of all, last reported data was 14.3 in September. The increase in payout, needless to say, creates a reduction in the expectation for end of the year, so this accounts for 35 bips. The 5 basis points that are shown in the third, as a third component of this capital work is a combination, the net combination of P&L and additional elements that are coming to play in the fourth quarter, including the expectation, the expected application of the Danish compromise. We have been authorized in early November to apply this starting from December, and including the point of additional headwinds coming from the adoption of Basel IV, sorry, of EBA guidelines that are coming into effect from the fourth quarter. Then, from this 14 of end of 23 to the final 14, a number of factors to be taken into account. Net profit contributing for 800 basis points, dividends and 81 coupons that will be a negative component of 580 bips. We will need to fund with capital the development of RWA, and this accounts for negative contribution 100 bips. We will face additional regulatory headwinds, which are basically related to Basel IV implementation, 130 bips. These include also the change in the risk weight of the components of the Danish compromise, of the participations in insurance, which account for around 30 bips negative, these single effects, effect. Synthetic securitizations will contribute for 40 bips. The evergreen Agos put option is there for 25 negative bips. And then there is a series of other components, which is negative for 5 bips. Our CET1 buffer, so which on a pro forma basis, already including the new SREP requirements that we received a few days ago, is will go from the current 490 bips to an expected level where we prefer to put a range, given that is subject also to the requirements of the supervisors, which we expect to be in an area between 470 and 500 bips. Obviously, LCR, NSFR, and MRL are expected to continue on the solid path well above the minimum regulatory requirements.
Thank you, Eduardo. Let's go very briefly to a very important slide of our presentation. This very comfortable capital position and profitability generation will allow us to increase 3 times during the year of the plan, the result compared with the previous 4 years of the previous plan, from 2 billion, over 2 billion to 6 billion of P&L. This will lead us to devote a strong part of this profitability to our shareholders, 5.5 times what we did in the previous 4 years, and having a capital position which will not change basically from 23 to 26, even though we'll have, of course, some volatility over the years, but always above 13%. What that means, a very sizable remuneration, 50%, more than 50% of our current market cap, more than 40% of our tangible book value, which is very important in this environment of increasing price to book. But we will introduce something new. First of all, an interim dividend for 2024. That means that summing up the dividend increasing in 23 and a stake of the profitability of 24, we think that in 2024 we will be able to distribute 1.3 billion to our shareholders, of which, of course, at least 750 million in terms of 2023 related results. This 1.3 billion represent 1/3 of the entire remuneration that we are engaging to devote to our shareholder already in the first year of the plan, leaving 2.5 years to still be utilized in order to increase up to 100% this stake of remuneration to our shareholder. Second message is that we will use so this opportunity as a trade-off between dividend and buyback also from 2024 onwards. And even more important, we will have room with a very comfortable 14% of capital to decide in due time what to do with the potential excess of capital that we will feel to have towards the end of the plan versus a quite normal, I would say, 13% of Common Equity Tier 1 as potential target. Basically, the main numbers are there. Now we have a very long, but we will try to cut very short presentation about, of course, the different tools that we will utilize in each cluster of client and for many products that we are exploiting in order to reach the result that we presented. I will be, together with Edoardo, we will be very quick because otherwise the presentation will be too long. But of course, in the Q&A session as well as in the next days, you will be, of course, we will be more than happy to answer in details to all the questions that we will produce this result, because behind this page, there is a lot of work that my colleagues did during the last months. So let's go very briefly, come back to the seven pillars. These are the main target for each of the pillars. So in SME and corporate, we think the main aspect will be the growth of 5% cumulate over the 4 years of our net commission and fees contribution. In terms of wealth management and life insurance, we have already seen some figure presented by Edoardo. We will have a total revenues increase of more than 200 million, as well as we will capture more value from the new product factory, PNS, and payment deals for a contribution of around 100 million of revenues. Then we'll activate further our omnichannel activity, both for increasing our client activity in buying products directly through the channel, but also to improve our capability to acquire to the acquisition rate, which was not at all exploited during the last years, in which we were devoted to pursue other targets. And now we feel that with interest rate at this level is very much profitable also to dedicate our activity to improve our target base, client base. The other important point, Edoardo mentioned it before, is the strong increase of investment dedicated to the tech innovation, the cybersecurity, the artificial intelligence, the data mining activity. Finally, some number about capital, credit, funding and liquidity, together with some important aspect that we will devote to our people, our communities, of which, of course, the hiring of 800 new people, of which 200 in the IT for the new contribution that you expect from young people in this field is one of the most important aspects. As you can see on the bottom, sustainability will be fully integrated throughout all these pillars of the plan. Let me just make some consideration about that. We will, of course, go through environmental, social, governance, the main aspect being the support that we want to devote to all our clients, especially SMEs, in terms of their transitional path. As you know, we are all, as a bank, let's say, a sort of compliance in having our client adopting all the sustainable policy. We want to transform this into a big opportunity to be at their side as a trainer, advisor, commercial tools to be offered in order to be always compliant. And this would lead to 10 billion for each year of the plan of new land, new green and low transition risk lending. So far as the social is related, we will further enhance our people strategy, generational change. We already mentioned the 800 people, which will be added to almost 1,200 people, young people already hired during the last years, which will lead to young people constituting more than almost 15% of our colleague base. Strengthening, of course, the women in managerial position of another 20%, and be always a bank very attentive to our community. This is a part of our story, and we see also as a part of our potential improvement into the activity that the bank is doing in the different territories. As you know, we have left our brand, our historical brand, to represent the bank in each of the historical community. Finally, in terms of governance, I already mentioned that we have ESG targets for all our long-term and short-term incentive plans for the management. We will devote 200,000 hours of training for our employees, 3,000 hours of training for our clients, and of course we will support, as I mentioned before, a digital transformation fully compliant with privacy and cyber needs. Again, where we are placed in SME and corporate, I already mentioned that we are in the best 5 regions in Italy, but we are also, with the 3 of these regions, amongst the best 7 regions in Europe. As you see, Lombardy is in the first place, then Veneto, Emilia-Romagna. That means that we have a big opportunity to exploit all the potential growth of the macro in the next few years. If you consider that in the region that we cover, we have 39% of export of goods as a percentage of GDP. In the rest of the region, is half this percentage, 19%. The same for GDP per capita, which in our region is 40% higher than in other regions. But on top of that, we have built up a very strong credibility and let's say bond with our SME clients, as shown here in a recently external research driven by an external company with SME clients and corporate clients. Our bank is in the first place in terms of net promoter score, very well above, I would say, the main competitors, and almost the double of the result of the average of the panel of the main Italian bank. So we have to exploit also on this reputation that, thanks to my colleagues, we have built in the recent years. Some figure about the growth. So Edoardo already explained that we don't envisage big growth in loans. A bit higher in corporate rather than SMEs. In SMEs, that we have considered the reduction in the program of guarantee scheme from the state, so we'll be very cautious and prudent in the approach to new lending to preserve the quality of our portfolio. In terms of core revenues, the vast majority, of course, is coming from fees rather than interest, for which in the corporate side, the growth of 5% per year is exactly the growth that we have already experienced from 22 to 23, growth that in SMEs is 3% in the last year, in the current year, and we will be growing to 5% thanks to the contribution of the new product factory, especially Monetics and PNC insurance. Sorry. Again, for corporate, some very quick news. Basically, on the left, you see that in some of a very important product, we are growing, but not at the level of our market share, which is 7%, and not even the level of our best product in the market share, which is 11% for leverage finance, 8% for lending. We expect to be growing also in such a product like factoring, which for us will be brandly new. We have bought a platform in order to do factoring internally to the bank. And of course, we are growing very fast in the M&A, where the collaboration between Banca Akros, the corporate side, and also the SME side is growing double figure into the recent quarter. One of the main activity that we will have will be to differentiate again our segmentation of our client, as in many occasions we have, of course, a good chunk of our profitability coming from a relatively small part of client. We want to devote a relationship manager in the different region to develop the less inserted client in the work with our bank. And we are sure that the possibility and the capability we've shown in other areas will allow us to grow massively also in this field. I would go faster on that. SME is quite a different story. We have, first of all, another differentiation. Meanwhile, our segmentation for corporate start from 75 million of a turnover up. SMEs is from 75 down, but there is still a differentiation between small and micro business, which is from 0 to 5 million. On this activity, we will, of course, dedicate a lot of investment to improve our digital solution. We have already a brand new app dedicated to SMEs, to small SMEs, recently started. We have already reached 35% of this category of client that utilize this app. We want to grow up to 60%. We are completing, and this will be done by the end of 24, the completely digital smart lending platform, which will allow clients to apply directly and to get an answer very quickly from our credit department through, of course, artificial intelligence and learning machine. And this should increase from 5% of the current situation to more than 25% the application of these tools to credit granting. As well as we will devote 100 of the new young people that we will hire to the digital branch, supporting remotely the more simple tools dedicated to SMEs like the sales of POS, the sales of insurance linked to credit and so on, in order to exploit the potential of remote sale from 15%, which is the current pace, to 50% in 2026. In doing that, we will also free up time to the commercial relationship manager, which will have 30% more of time to be dedicated to their current client. The main aspect, again, I was mentioning before, is the growth in commission. The growth will be 5% on aggregate, starting from 3%. The vast majority will come from the new availability of the new product factory. ESG factor. This is very important. I want to dedicate some minute to this activity. As I mentioned before, we want to be the reference bank for ESG to our SMEs and corporates. That means that we will dedicate training to our clients in terms of ESG education. we will skill up our relationship manager in order to be their self a reference for their client. We are rolling out an ESG diagnostic tool to be integrated with our credit policies in order to give the client all the useful information for their ESG transition. And finally, we are establishing a number of products devoted to the transition in order to have clients which will be complying with the new rules in the next few years. Wealth management, let's say we have done some good results during the recent years. We have been growing our market share is much lower than the loans one, but we have been growing from 3.8 to 4.1, still very much below our market share in current account, which is 5.5%. So there is room to grow also in this activity. Another good thing we have reached is to bettering the difference between running fees and upfront fees. We have been growing in running fees from 60 to 70%. And also the share of ESG products in our asset under management client have been increasing from 6 to 37%. On the right, you can see that we have still room to grow in asset under management, not only vis-à-vis the banks that have financial advisor, which of course are the more performance in this field, but also vis-à-vis our competitor, our normal commercial banking activity, and we feel that we can fill at least a part of the gap that still make us less competitive than other banks. Main figure in asset under management. We think we can grow, dividing again between fees and revenues from product factoring. Basically, the growth will be split evenly, 50% from commission and 50% from product factory. A large part of the product of the fees will come from the market effect, assuming a growth of 2.5% per year. As well as a part of the revenues from product factory will come from the reinsourcing of the product factory themselves. On the right side, it's also important to mention that we don't have to grow our capability to collect deposit from our client. Basically, we have the same target as before. We have been able to collect 13 billion of net inflows in the last 3 years. The same 13 billions are forecasted for the length of this new business plan, but with a different split, which of course will be helped by the interest rate pace in an interest rate growing market. Asset under custody is much more request from our client. In a situation in which interest rate will slow down and go down, of course we feel that is the right moment to be able to convert from asset under custody to asset under management. So it's a very simple strategy which should be helped a lot by the interest rate situation. If we consider the percentage of the increase of wealth management and life insurance, of course, as Eduardo was mentioning before, the big part will come from life insurance, which we envisage a growth of 10% CAGR in the next 3 years. Just to mention that in the affluent side of asset under management, we will, where we have 60% of the total asset under management, we will have a new proposition for 180,000 clients, which have the wealthy characteristic to be followed by a relationship manager, but in the current situation where in the mass market cluster, so without any contact other than the direct contact, the digital contact, and without relationship manager. We feel that this opportunity to devote more relationship manager to such an important size of a client should bring us a very consistent improvement. In average, this client, let's say, self-service, have an asset under management average of 20% vis-à-vis 38% of the one followed by a relationship manager. And this will help us, together with the wealth management platform, increase, of course, also the capability to increase our market share in this cluster of client. Private banking, we have Banca Aletti, as you know, which has been the bank very much growing already this year in terms of net inflow, 1 billion of net inflow already done in 23. Of course, the vast majority of the increase of profit of revenues from 22 to 23 was also driven by NII, but still we have the opportunity to continue to grow into three different aspects. Hiring new bankers, even though at a lower pace than we did in 23, organic growth directly produced by our private bankers, and a strong contribution that we are already experiencing from the cross-segment synergies with corporate and SMEs. This should bring an increase of CAGR of 6% over the plan, mainly driven by the upper-end clients in terms of wealth, so the clients which have more than 5 million of asset with our bank. I think Eduardo already was very much clear about the revenues coming from the product factory in PNC and payment system. Let me say that also in this case, the vast majority of the growth comes from the inflation as far as 30% of the growth and the normal forecast of increasing adoption of digital payments. So basically we will be exploiting the right moment to start this activity, because with the increasing adoption, we will have around 85% of the growth forecasted in this plan already expressed by the market. And of course, the remaining part will be through managerial activity, which we will start, as you know, from the second quarter of 2024, after the closing of the new joint venture with ICREA and Fondo FSI. PNC, just few words. We have been growing 30% from 21 to 23, so still a good improvement as we forecast in the previous plan, but still we have room because we are below the market average. We are 15% below the market average, with the market again, which is growing both in terms of assurance and even more in terms of bank assurance. So again, we are in the right moment, in the right business, in order to exploit the natural growth of this product in the market. And as you can see, there is also in this case an inertial growth of 50% of the total, and the remaining will come through dedicated activity, which will leverage on 130 specialized people, dedicated people in our territory devoted only to PSC bank assurance product. In terms of digital, on the left you see all the progress we have done and all the results we have achieved, performing vis-à-vis the previous plan target. We will continue. The first three priorities are basically the continuation of what we have already done, digital client activation. We have now more than 1 million clients with a digital identity. Omnichannel advisory transformation, which means, as I mentioned before, to supply more product and more advisory, remote advisory to our client in order to conclude more transaction through the omnichannel journey. The network transformation with the reduction of the branch and dedicating more commercial people to the clients. The new activity is the one that we mentioned here is the number four, acquisition program and WeBank scale up. Let's go directly to this aspect. As you see on the left part of the slide, we have not been very active during these years. We had a lot of other things to dedicate, and also because, of course, with a negative interest rate environment was not the best thing to do. And nowadays, we feel that revamping, let's say, the never-sleeping activity of WeBank, which grew in any case naturally over the last years, we can increase something like 30% our customer base in WeBank, so as a digital bank users. And this will come with a series of initiatives dedicated in terms of brand awareness, digital advertising, deposit remuneration offers. We will devote quite important amount of money to acquire new client, because we feel that with the current interest rate, this will be down over the years, and we will keep the deposit in order to be basically transformed in asset under management. And so this is the strategy that we'll adopt also for our increasing clients' activity. Let's go again to Edoardo for some quick news about the IT platform.
Yes, thanks a lot, Giuseppe. I will try to be very quick and focus on key messages. Excuse me in advance for being synthetic. So, first of all, we come from an IT journey which was focused in the previous years, the first years after the merger, on the integration. Then, in the last few years, on the creation of the foundations for the modernization of the platform, especially in terms of digital enabling the digital interactions with our clients. Now, the objective is to achieve digital excellence, leveraging on a faster, more innovative, efficient, and secure IT. We have four priorities here. One is the adoption of cloud, leveraging on the agile architecture. Second is the strengthening of our competencies, in increasing also the our people base specialized in this area. The third is to invest significantly in cybersecurity. The fourth point is the adoption of AI and generative AI at scale throughout the bank. Investments are going to be increased from 500 to 600, and this is in a with a spirit of spend, invest more, so more IT directed to change the bank, 5% from run to change the bank as a share to be moved between the two buckets. And secondly, to spend better. We want to have 5 percentage points of the spends of the IT investments to be redirected from other initiatives, IT for IT or regulatory and so forth, to business-led initiatives. These will be done throughout the levers I mentioned before. Again, coming back to cloud, where we want to have 60% at least of our transactions, web banking transaction processed on cloud. The competencies, internalization and reinforcing, 200 new professionals hired, of which 15% specialized in cyber securities. And finally, in cyber, we will also deploy significant effort in investments, improving, increasing the level of investments by 20%. AI is a way to continue and double down on our investments on digital. 25% of our additional investments, 25 million, will be directed to AI with the objective to generate and adopt 30 use cases by the Plan Horizon, focused on commercial productivity, efficiency, or risk management and credit portfolio management. So basically, we want to embrace the whole of the activities of the bank by adopting a model which is very simple, use cases to be prioritized on the base of the value they create, organizational model based on a center of competence and dedicated units within the various areas of the bank, and finally a platform, an IT environment based on technologies and methodologies enabling rapid interactions among the various models and data sets. In the area of operations, I mentioned before, commenting the slide of costs, that we are targeting savings for 90 million, at the same time being carbon neutral for net scope 1 and 2 emissions by 2024. How to achieve these savings? First, ICT with initiatives centered on vendor and contract optimization and improvements in the technical way we work. 15%, the target here to save versus the 2023 baseline. Second point is operation, where we want to deploy a series of optimizations and automations that have the target to increase our productivity by 20%. Third point is real estate, optimization of space usage, reduction of 20% in power consumption. KPI here is to disposals for 50% of our non-instrumental real estate assets. Fourth point here is the other general administration expenses, where we will adopt a zero-based approach to both cost budgeting and demand management applied to run expenditure with a target to reduce the G&A baseline versus the baseline by 5%. Let's go to credit risk. No need probably to comment the data on the left of this page. Improvement, we commented already in the first section of the document, in all the key indicators, where we have in an area, the credit risk management, where we have a very strong starting point. State guaranteed is now 30% of the total portfolio. Low and medium risk enterprises are 77%. NPE inflows are now 79% of the number that we had in 2019, and workout rate is 1.5 times higher than we had again in 19. This is based on widespread adoption of credit policies that are based on RWA, improvements based on machine learning of early warning system, the functioning of the JV we activated a few years ago with Gardant, and the adoption at full scale of the credit risk data warehouse. The initiatives to improve in credit risk management are here grouped between those that are deployed, to be deployed in the area of credit granting and default prevention, and the other ones that will be concern the recovery performance and workout capacity. To mention the most important ones, smart lending will be at the core of our credit granting activity, underwriting activity, and this means automated decisions for the low end of the portfolio, more informed and data-rich environment to produce the assessment and the decisions in the most complex file. Pre-default and exit strategies will be further reinforced, as we will do in the area of workout and disposal processes. We will also adopt credit policies targeted to address our net zero strategy, so that at the end of the day, also taking into account the operating platform enhancement to maximize analyze the benefit of state guarantees and the evolution of the credit workflow, we will confirm a default rate of 0.9% at the end of the plan. Here we mentioned also 2024, where we are expecting a prudent evolution of the default rate due to the overall economic environment, as we did in previous plans. Workout activity, already excellent in 2023 with an overall workout rate above 25%, 26%, will be confirmed at the end of the plan. And as mentioned in the previous part of the presentation, gross NP ratio will go down to 3%, cost of risk will go down to 45%. On funding strategies and securities portfolio, we will deploy a number of initiatives that are required to further to preserve the solidity of the balance sheet, funding especially, where in the plan horizon we will continue reimbursing the TLTRO liabilities according to the original maturities until 2024. We will end after that the plan with a very limited debt position with ECB of 1 billion, which we consider physiological and is of course, if needed, can be replaced by other forms of secured funding. Very important, the point on net bond issuance. We will leverage on our investment grade rating to increase significantly by 8 billion the size of the secured funding, 3.8 secure bonds, wholesale funding, 3.8 are secure bonds, 4.5 are unsecured bonds, with issuances that will be kept at sustainable pace over the years, exploiting the various market opportunities as we successfully did during the last few weeks. Securities portfolio, moderate increase in the banking book from 38.7 to 40.7 expected end of 26. Benefit from refresh in interest rates, reinvestment rates, because maturities are expected to bear a rate that is lower than the new investments. Italian govies confirmed below 50% as a key target of our risk appetite. Not to forget the focus on ESG. As Giuseppe said in the introduction, we have been the first green issue in 2022, second in 2023. We have adopted the green social and sustainable bonds framework very recently. We will target issuances in a green area of 5 billion in the next 3 years. And on the asset side, an increase of the ESG bonds in the total of the non-government bond portfolio from 27 to 40%. People side, here we present 6 comprehensive initiatives to improve further our people management processes, ranging from new training academy to a series of measures targeted to create a new impulse to the generational change, exit plans, as we mentioned, for around 1,600 people replaced by 800 new hires under 30, facilitation of sustainability, accessibility and inclusion, adoption of a comprehensive talent management and people development program, strong attention dedicated to the reinforcement of a flexible and goal-oriented work environment, reinforcement of communication tools. I'll be very quick here. So all the training targets that we have announced have been achieved, and now we will continue to increase our effort with 140,000 hours per days per year to be dedicated to our new training academy and 200,000 hours of ESG training. Work-life balance, 40% of working time in smart working. From the current 30, we have already more than 5,000 smart working contracts, and from the current 10 to 20% digital working in the network, where we will enable the agile working mode for those portfolios where remote offering can be deployed more easily. We will also reduce scope 3 emissions from commuters, 40% target of reduction versus 2019. This is a very important area of our support to the human resources development, the turnover, generation turnover and talent management. I already mentioned 800 new hires. We will also introduce training paths, growth paths, which in 2 years of training will enable the start of first managerial roles. Professional retraining program that will help flexibility in the management of role changes, targeted program for young talents, and 20% women in managerial position increase from the level of 2023. And then support to the communities. We have a DNA of bank present and close to our clients and to all of our stakeholders. We want to continue to invest in this DNA with 100 social initiatives, 4,000 hours of ESG education training, 2,000 hours of corporate community services, 5 million of contribution and donations to support social and environmental projects, 200 million new lending in 2026 for the third sector.
Thank you, Eduardo. We are happy that we have been able to stay below 1 hour and a half, but notwithstanding that, I want to thank all of you to be so patient to stand 1.5 hours to listen to this presentation. Let me just conclude with some final figure, but some consideration. Thanks to my colleagues, all the colleagues of the bank, and my special management team, we were able to over-deliver all the previous business plan that we have presented to this community. This plan, in a way, is even simpler because it's an execution plan. We have already... we are already in continuity with our story of growing, of bettering our balance sheet to increase our profitability. We have already concluded the transaction that will enable us to switch from a lower interest income to a higher fees and commission income. We have been able to apply in the past, and we will do the same in the strong control of cost that will enable us to offset the majority of the new contract weight, also investing much more in our IT infrastructure. So all in all, the story is simple. The execution will be a bit more tough, but we think we have the team that has always overcome the target we have had. And in this case, I would say, is only to be able to do what we have built up during the recent years. Just some quick figure. I want to have your attention basically on the main aspect of the plan, the non-interest income on revenues, going up from below 40% to 45%. Of this contribution will allow us to reach our target, and this is what we already did in 2022. So it's a story that we have to try to replicate as we were able to do in the past years. What are the kinds of consequences for our numbers and our shareholder? Of course, you know the EPS for our bank stand the way that we announced 2 quarters ago. Higher than 80 cents per share for 2023 and 90 for 2024, 90 considering, excluding the one-off, of course, but with an improvement of dividend per share, at least already envisaged both globally and also for 2023, in which we will pass from $0.40 to $0.50 for 2023. The total shareholder, again, higher than 50% of market share. The first year remuneration, 17% of our market share and 1/3 of the total contribution. And on top of that, I would say the potential common equity tier 1 excess at the end of the plan will allow us to be even more generous toward our shareholders. Thank you very much for your attention. We are ready for a Q&A session. Grazie. Partiamo con le domande.
Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. Manuela Meroni, Intesa San Paolo. I have four questions. The first one is on the shareholders' remuneration. You mentioned 1.3 billion to be distributed in 2024. Is this distribution cash? And going forward, you mentioned both cash and share buyback. Could you please help us understanding what will be the mix and what will be the criteria on the basis of which you will decide to distribute cash or share buyback? I don't know, you have a specific payout ratio in mind in terms of cash dividend or something else? The second question is on your net interest income and revenues. You are assuming an Euribor at 4% in 2023, in 24, declining afterwards. What would be your target in terms of NII and revenues, assuming an Euribor 50 basis points lower compared with this assumption? The third question is on the risk-weighted assets. You mentioned 130 basis points of regulatory headwinds. Could you please elaborate a little bit more in order to understand what is the composition of these 130 basis points and when it will be accounted? And last question on the cost. I'm wondering if there are some costs associated with the reduction in headcounts, something like 800 net, so 1.100, let's say something related to that, and if you expect, if you can reduce costs more, assuming that your revenues are not growing in line with your expectations. So is the cost base a backup plan? Thank you.
Thank you, Manuela. I will go to some of your questions and then I leave it to Leonardo. As far as shareholder remuneration, we thought it was important to give you to give to the community the sides of what we wanted to distribute, the capability that we will have thanks to the improved profitability, and of course to scale up from what we had in the recent years. Don't forget that 3 years ago we were not paying dividend at all, and we started very recently with 50%. Now we are going in a different category. We think that is very useful to give this indication to the financial community. For 24, we decided to be constant and coherent with the previous activity, so to devote a very big tranche of cash dividends for our shareholders. including, of course, the possibility of an interim dividend, which will be even more interesting, I feel, because it will allow our shareholder to decide if to reinvest in our bank or to devote the cash to other activity. Let's remember that we have also some of our shareholders, quite consistent part, that are either private or foundation, institution, and so on. So in our way of reading this situation, the 1.3 billion in 24 should largely compensate the possibility to have a buyback. In the future, we don't want to exclude buyback. It's possible that we will be able and decide that the composition of our shareholders, the needs of the market, the request that will come loudly, because frankly speaking, not all the shareholders are in favor of share buyback. We will decide and we will have the hands free in order to do the best things possible, but inside the amount of shareholder remuneration that we very clearly told you today. Maybe I can give something about, okay, Edwin, that are basically Basel 3 or 4, as you prefer. This will come, of course, January 25. That's why we will have a spike of common equity in 24 and then a reduction in 25. This is basically for the normal rules of Basel on RWA absorption, plus a different treatment about the Danish compromise that even though will be, of course, as all the Danish compromise, pressing RWA rather than in capital, will forecast an increase from 100 to 250. So there is a 30 basis point coming from this major absorption in terms of new rules of Basel. For personnel, let's say that the phasing will determine also the current compensation. Basically, as Eduardo was saying, will be 50 million in 23, 50 in 24, and the rest, the remaining 25 and 26 for a total consideration of 150, a bit above 150 million. And we think that we can almost offset this through the early retirement scheme and the phasing in of the new hiring. Of course, depending on the different skills of the people who will hire. But all in all, the cost of personnel will not grow in more than in 23 at the end of the plan. Maybe there.
So on the question of on NII, the simple answer to your question is, let me mention that we have historically maintained a sensitivity of around 300 million, statically measured, 400 bips. So this is the very short answer, but I would prefer to elaborate a little bit, if I may. So, first of all, the sensitivity is elaborated based on our current balance sheet. I mentioned during the illustration that we will increase throughout 2024 the size of hedge accounting on deposits, replicating portfolio, from 15 to 25, of around 10 billion. So this is not accounted for in the 300 million sensitivity. If we start observing an environment where from rumors, the potential of actions from ECB, and so in general the term structure of interest rate, to be reduced, then we will accelerate the implementation of these strategies, bringing the sensitivity down from the 300 to the 200. Moreover, we have to bear in mind, so this means that for 50 bips, this may lead to a reduction of 100 instead of 150. Moreover, we have in mind that the most important potential sensitivity is not of lower rates throughout the year, but of acceleration in the reduction of rates by ECB from the expectation of rate cuts starting in second half of the year to an acceleration to, let's say, beginning of second quarter. This means that reduction in 50 bips accelerated of one quarter is equivalent to a reduction, sorry for being a little bit technical now, of 12.5 bips over a full year horizon, leading the 100 million I was mentioning before to 25 million actual potential impact. Against these 25 million of potential impact on NII of this acceleration in reduction in rates, you can consider the possibility to adopt countermeasures, especially in the conversions from deposits, from sight deposits to time deposits, which may mitigate. Let me say that for each 100 million, the mitigation is around 3%. So let's say that for 500 million, we may mitigate around 15 million of the negative impact. So it's a plan, it's not a static sensitivity. You need to factor into the equation the possibility for the bank to react to a new scenario. And once this is factored, we try to provide some suggestions. History says that even at lower rates, banks may generate interesting NIIs. It's a matter of managing the balance sheet accordingly. Maybe Pamela? Ladies first, no.
Hi, this is Fabrizio Bernardi from Intermonte. I have a simple question on the payout policy. The stock is up 60% year to date. You plan 6 billion euros of net income, 4 billions of payout, which means you are going to pay out 50% of the market cap, and you end up with the common equity of 14%, which is by far higher than most of your bigger peers, let's say, in Milan. So I would ask if how comfortable you are with this payout policy. Seems that you may be very comfortable, at least to me. Sorry. And secondly, I didn't get the answer to the one-off cost. As far as I know, you have... More or less 200 million euros of common equity coming from the deal in the digital payment sector, which is more in the P&L, but its common equity is 200 million. So I just want to get if you are going to offset this again with one-off cost. I think it's like this, but maybe you can confirm. And the last, it's Diago's situation. I read in the bridge of the common equity there is minus 25 basis points for the put option. Maybe you can update us with something on this kind of situation, which is clearly important because Agos is contributing a lot to you. Just one last thing is on the bancassurance P&L line. I remember, but maybe I'm wrong, that you are planning to have 100 million euros of P&L line from bancassurance. Maybe you can give us another number till 2026, because I think this is a key point of the business plan, considering the NII issue that all banks have. Thank you.
Okay, yes, we are quite comfortable, of course, knowing that there is a big engagement and commitment that we are taking, because we are not used to have this kind of, let's say, relative and total shareholder remuneration. But I hope that the effort we did in explaining the plan was make you understand that, again, is a really execution plan. Meanwhile, in the past, we had to change, let's say, the bank in order to reach some target. In this case, we have to be very good in executing the plan, very good in exploiting the product factory, very good in exploiting our geography, very good in exploiting the leadership that we have in many fields with our client. But the real growth, if you exclude the market growth, are not such massive. So we really feel that is something strong in terms of numbers, in terms of figure, but very reachable on our side. And the fact that we were able to be very credible over the last plan, but also over the last quarters, because every time in advance we tell the market what we will do, which result we will achieve, which kind of remuneration we will give to our shareholder. Now we step up. We are not more, let's say, in a completely comfortable zone, but we feel we are mature for taking this engagement. The cost, of course, will be offset partially by the net of the cost of the redundancy. So let's say that the overall will be lower than 400 million, not 500 million. That is the figure of the product factory gain. Then maybe, Eduardo, you want to say something about the P&L of the insurance?
Yes, so for the insurance, we report in the presentation exactly the amount of revenues expected from insurance. It's page... 21, so the income from insurance, this is gross income. In terms of net profit, we have confirmed a contribution from insurance of the order of money, from life insurance of the order of money should around 90 million, and on top of that, we will have the contribution of 35% of the non-life. If this was the question. Maybe there was the pedone and ci riusciamo.
Good morning. Thank you very much for that presentation. I'm Pamela from Morgan Stanley. One question on the distributions. So the target for 2026 CET1 is 13%, but you're seeing it at 14%. Therefore, the plan sees maintaining a 100 basis points more or less buffer versus the management CET1 target. You're saying in the plan that you want to wait to see the delivery of the targets before you address any distribution. Does that mean that you will wait definitely until 2026 before addressing the optionality of that excess capital, or could we see a potential extraordinary distribution of that excess capital throughout 2023-26 pending on the delivery? Then in line with that excess capital optionality and thinking about your commitment to grow the product factories, would you be interested in allocating part of that excess capital to increase the stake on any of the joint ventures, maybe particularly on the payments? And then a follow-up on the liquidity position. What is your assumption on the MRR? Do you have it increasing? And would you be worried on the liquidity if it goes up a certain level? Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. Let's say the first two are very much linked. I would say that we have left a bit of optionality because we always said, as we have done, that we want to grow in our product factory activity. So if there will be occasion, opportunity, we will try to exploit through the growth of Anima, through the other opportunity in the payment system and so on. So a bit of cut. We are not the dimension of our two big competitor, which of course have in mind more the distribution rather than the growth. We also have in mind some growth that is possible, especially in the product factory. But having said that, so this is the little lever that we left in order to manage the capital. I have to say that, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the main reduction in terms of capital will come from Basel 4 or 3 or 4 in 2000, beginning of 25. So in 25, basically, we have to go back to rebuild capital. It's possible that we will reach to be able to do it in 1 year, but it's most possible that between the decision, the result of 25 and the end of 26, we can take another decision about the level, the proper level of common equity.
So reserve requirement, current level is very easy to remember, is around 1 billion, each billion has an impact in terms of additional requirements. So let's say twice the current one will mean around 5 percentage points of reduction in our LCR. LCR is currently at around 160%. We don't plan this to be at that level during the next years, given that the liquidity buffer will generate a cost, but still definitely 5 percentage points will not be an important reduction in the overall level. We plan to stay at something like 30% buffer, things like that, so it's manageable.
Hi, Andrea Lisi from Equita. The first question is on the trajectory of fees, in particular if you can provide us more color on the trajectory you expect in the plan. We have seen a CAGR of 5%. If we have to imagine a quite linear path or if it is more reasonable to think that it is more skewed towards the end of the plan. The second question is on contingency plans, in particular if the actions and business in the plan or the macro environment should be different from what you expect. How can you reach the business plan targets? And the last one is on the interim. You have anticipated in some way the interim in 2024. If you already are in the position to commit yourself on the proportion of the yearly remuneration that will be paid as interim. Thank you.
Trajectory of fees, of course, we have the build up of the new activity in PNC and in the Monetic. So of course it will be lower in 24 and increasing in 25 and 26. As far as the other, let's say asset under management and life insurance, we expect since the start of 24 to reach the growth we envisage for the plan. As well as the same, of course, for fees from corporate and SMEs. As I mentioned before, in corporate we are already experiencing a growth of 5%, so still we think we can continue to this pace of growth. If a scenario deteriorates in terms of interest rate or in terms of GDP, the second, both, of course they are very much linked, I would say. Exactly. But as Eduardo mentioned before, we have some buffer in terms of early reduction. We don't feel very much that there could be such a higher reduction of interest rate. We envisage 50 basis points per year over the 3 years of the plan, so 150 basis points. But what could be possibly could be an acceleration. And I think Eduardo explained how we calculate the buffer in order to compensate the potential reduction in NII. In terms of macro scenario, I think you have seen that we have the underlying is a very simple and not growing environment, 0.6 for GDP for 2024 and 0.9 for 25-26. No growth basically in loans already envisaged in the plan. So I think it's quite prudent as a scenario. So of course we have learned during these difficult years behind us that whatever scenario happened with the pandemic, with raw material, with inflation, the different part of the bank adapt immediately to exploit opportunity to compensate as disadvantage. So, of course, we'll do the same. But let's say that this plan is built on a very prudent assumption. Then there was a third question. Is that right?
Interim.
For 24?
In general.
Oh, okay, this year we were very clear. We said above 1.3 billion, of which 750 for related to 23. So what we will do is not to have immediately the commitment for the same proportion envisaged for 24, but as we have seen done by other our competitors, normally they put 50% of the potential remuneration into dividend interim. This is more or less what we did.
Hi, it's Marco Nicolai from Jefferies. I wanted to ask you a question on asset quality. So you are guiding for 45 bps of cost of risk in 2026. I guess I would like to know some kind of sensitivity here as well. Like what if GDP turns out to be worse than expected? Let's say, what's your worst case scenario in terms of cost of risk going forward? And another question on excess capital. So you say you are sitting on excess capital. I would like to know what is, you know, can you just help us to understand what does excess mean? In the past, you referred to 12.5% of, let's say, the right level of capital for Banco BPM. Is the target still there? Is it lower? Is it higher? Thank you.
Thank you. Asset quality is really following the scenario that Eduardo described about the default rate. So, of course, in 24, we have forecasted an increase quite consistent, as we do every year, from 0.9 to 1.3 of the default rate, and this consequently will bring an increase in the cost of risk that we will have at least related to the cost of risk of 9 months, 23. Then there will be a decrease, reduction, more evident in 26 with 45 basis points rather than in 25. But not that big difference, just related to default. As you know, cost of risk come from two aspects. One is the inflow of the default rate, and this is what we consider. The other one, luckily enough, is very low because it's the stock and the capability to free up the stock to allow new inflow to come in. And this is something that we have experienced very much. Excess capital, what can I say there? These are figures that change depending on the situation, on the ECB attitude, and so on. We prefer not to be driven by the final number that came out from the figure that we examined and we forecast. We just say that, of course, if we will be able to distribute 4 billion and be able still to stay at 14%, if there are no other investment in product factory and so on, we have, I think, a consistent part of capital still to distribute. And the figure, I think, will be always the same, between 12.5% and 13%, depending.
Roberto, just to see if anyone connected has...
If there is no question from the room, we pass for the question on the conference call.
So the next question from the conference call is from Giovanni Razzoli, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning to everybody. Some questions. The first one is on the shareholder remuneration policy. So basically, the reference to the fact that you will evaluate year by year the shareholder remuneration is a reference to the mix between cash and buyback from 2024. So this is the first clarification. And secondly, I think you will, but is there an hard commitment to cancel the shares resulting from the share buyback? I ask you this because there is not consensus on this among Italian banks. For example, UniCredit has a 100% cancellation policy, Mediobanca 80%. So I was wondering what you're thinking on it. Second question is about the impact of the regulatory headwinds of EBA guidelines, 140 basis points. If you can share with us some of the drivers of this impact. And again, on the capital, I was wondering whether you can share with us what is the impact on the CET1 going forward from the expiration of the state-guaranteed loans. If I'm not mistaken, you do have around 20 billion euros of stocks with a guarantee that is, if I'm not mistaken, about 60%. So in the case you were to roll part of it clearly with the plain vanilla loans, there will be a risk-weighted asset inflation. I was wondering whether this had an impact on your 2026 numbers in terms of CET1. And another question on your capital. You have been extremely successful. You've shown us, if I'm not mistaken, 35 billion euros of de-risking in the, since the merger with BAMI, which is an impressive figure without rights issue, without asking the support of the shareholders. I was wondering if you can share with us what is, if any, the benefit on this amount from the application of the Article 500 of the CRR, that is the lower LGD parameter associated with the NPL transaction. The final question on PNC business, can you share with us what assumption have you made in terms of volumes in the PNC in 2026? Because I've seen that you have a quite significant growth in the fees on the PNC, 40 million euros, if I'm not mistaken. So what are the volumes attached? Thank you.
Okay. Let's start from remuneration. Yes, the first answer is yes. We will evaluate year by year because as you have seen, we have to consider also our shareholder composition and we want to, let's say, try to understand what's the better and the preferred ways for our shareholder. The second one, I would say that there is no rules, so everybody does what he feels more convenient. If we will consider share buyback, we will decide what to do, but there is not a strict opinion on that. Edwin's on EBA guidelines, I think in the page 25. Ah, okay. EBA, yes, you're right, Rado. What we said was that we want to compensate the Danish compromise tailwinds with the EBA guidelines. So we unfortunately didn't receive yet the EBA guidelines, but we prudentially offset the Danish compromise figure with this one. So we will see when we'll arrive. Again, the fourth was what I was answering before. I think that Eduardo commented about 100 basis point of ordinary RWA on page 25. A part of this is the inflation on RWA driven by the substitution of guarantee with non-guaranteed loan. For Article 500, I will leave to Eduardo, but unfortunately, I don't think we had such a benefit. And also for PNC, maybe you have a figure more precise that I have in mind.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, Article 500, I don't know, is very... We have all praised the attempt from the EU authorities to introduce a mitigants for disposals. The reality is, as we have opportunities to communicate to investors in the past, that this has no material impact on our RWA or in terms of mitigation of RWA density, owing to the strict application criteria that have been adopted by the supervisory authority in the exercise of its discretion. So, long story short, no negligible impact from this item. P&C volumes end of the plan is below 400 million in terms of total premia, if this was the question, that is consistent with the targets we have put in place in our agreement with the partner. And I don't know if there was there are any points that have not been addressed.
Okay. No, thank you. So the points were addressed. Just a clarification. So the EBA guidelines, the major impact is just your estimate. So the impact could be lower than the 440 basis points.
Of course, there are many aspects to consider. First of all, we have to receive them. Secondly, when you receive them, you have to work on it. So you have to understand the real impact because, as you know, this is an assumption that is related to a portfolio composition quite old. If I am not wrong, is end of 2020 portfolio. So, of course, we have to reshape the new rules into the new portfolio. And then, basically, in the quarter after, we can be very precise about the impact, which, of course, we expect to be lower.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I have several, mostly on capital return. So the 4 billion capital return and 6 billion profits point at a 67% payout. So I wanted to ask whether you are in a position to commit to a higher ordinary payout throughout the plan. So basically revising your current 50%. And then I would like to ask you if you could kind of please split the extraordinary and ordinary capital return out of this 4 billion. And then a clarification on the 1.3 billion capital return in 2024. So the way I was thinking about it is 750 million on 2023 net profit, and then you have the interim on a billion and 360 million on which is the guidance for 2024, you take 50% of the 60% payout, and then you're left with let's say 150 million or extraordinary capital return. Is this the right way of thinking about it? And then I have a question on the decision between share buyback and extra DV, whether the your share price our support to your share price could play a role in deciding indeed the split. And then I have a question on cost, and on the one-off costs related to the exits. Could you give us a rough estimate of that amount, and if you would expense it in 2024, and when will the cost saving materialize? And then on M&A. So you've been quite vocal in your stance on M&A before, but I just want to ask you again to make sure that nothing has changed. So wanted to ask your stance here on M&A, and in particular on a merger with MPS. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So basically, we are committing to pay 4 billion out of 6. So I wouldn't say that is a percentage that we are committed to. But having said that, out of this 4 billion, 1.3 will be paid in 2024. I would say that we are committed, given, of course, the results that we expect to do and the capital position, which is quite comfortable. This is our new commitment, of course, for this business plan. One-off. Basically, there are no one-off other than the net one-off coming from the product factory in the payment service product factory. As you know, we will cash 500 million. We will be reducing the impact of the one-off extraordinary early retirement scheme, which again will involve 1,600 people. And so the net, as I mentioned before, would be a bit lower than 400 million. This will be the only contribution to the profitability, let's say, extraordinary coming from the figure that we showed today. The third one, I'm not that sure I understood. We said 1.3 billion during 24. Of course, it takes in account only the first part of 24 profitability. As I mentioned before, let's say 50% of the profitability on top of the forecast on the guidance of the 750 million coming from the distribution of 2023. So, in my opinion, there is no other extraordinary rather than other ordinary coming from the second part of 24 and the top-up of the potential 50% up to a percentage relevant and coherent with the total 4 billion. No, I wouldn't say the share buyback versus share prices at all. I would say that it could add a role when some bank started with share buyback. Of course, when the price to book was very, very low, there could have been a consideration about that. In my opinion, apart from being of some support to the stock, let's say artificial support to the stock, because you are buying back your own shares, for the rest, I don't think make such a difference. For the M&A, still no way. What you would say if I have to compare 1.5 billion of revenue, 6 billion of revenues for the next years with a complicated transaction, which of course will not allow us to accelerate on the many activity and many aspects we have to do. So in my opinion, when you have this tailwind in your favor, is better not to consider a transaction which will destroy all the people from reaching the target that we have. So we are very consistent in saying that we like this standalone situation, apart, as I mentioned before, from potential add-on on the product factory. For the materialization year by year, maybe Edoardo has some details.
Yes, the total benefit is above 150 million. The total of the benefit is above 150 million, materializing in 2026, whilst these will progressively mount over time. So around 100 million will be already deployed in 25, and only limited part, something in the area of 20 to 25, starting from second half of next year.
Thank you. Thank you. If I may, I have a follow-up just to make sure I understand the way you're thinking about your capital return here. So you will continue to accrue 50% payout, but then on a yearly basis, you will decide whether to top up that payout in line with indeed the 4 billion, which, for example, led you to announce roughly 60% of payout in 2023. Is that...
But I don't know why you are mentioning again this 50%. 50% was the previous guidance and commitment of the bank toward the shareholders. Now we have increased. If you need a number, just consider 4 billion out of 6 billion. But in being based on potential buyback, on other kind of shareholder remuneration, that doesn't make so much sense to give you the right figure. If you are more comfortable with the figure, I would say that 4 billion out of 6 are two-thirds, more or less, or 65 or 66 of the total profitability. But expressly, we didn't give a number, not because we want to be linked to 50, but because we want to be linked to the 4 billion out of 6.
Thank you.
The next question is from Delphine Lee with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Most of them have been answered, but I just wanted to come back to NII, because you do have in your plan a significant increase in time deposits to above 9 billion. So I was just wondering, in your NII trajectory, kind of what deposit beta assumptions do you assume? Also, you know, what you're assuming in terms of deposit pass-through when rates are coming down? And on fees and commissions, we're just wondering, sort of what beyond for the wealth management business and asset management, I mean, beyond the market performance, which I think you're assuming 2.5, are you what kind of trends are you expecting on the margins, if I may ask? Thank you.
On deposit, yes, we think we will devote potential profitability to increase our time deposit base, because we feel that, and we felt, especially during the preparation of this business plan, that the environment of the interest rates was not so close, let's say, to the reduction that we envisaged for the second part of 24. Having said that, we want to keep strong our deposit base. I don't think that, speaking of beta, in a declining interest rate environment is the main factor to explain the impact on NII. This is really, let's say, a commercial maneuver in order to keep deposit at a very good level. And we, of course, are envisaging different action starting from, I don't know, deposit, depending on the maturity, 75 basis point below Euribor, or 150 basis point below Euribor, depending on the size, the maturity, and so on. Of course, this will have an impact on beta, but it's not the natural beta impact, but more related to some commercial action that, in our opinion, should bring us, especially through WeBank, to increase quite materially the deposit base. For the second, maybe...
May I elaborate just to provide more clarity on how we modeled the behavior of the deposits in this plan? So we've always guided the market on a split of our deposit base between indexed and non-indexed in the recent quarters. Indexed are around 20 to 25% of the base, non-indexed are the remaining 75 to 80%. Non-indexed so far showed a beta which is very close to zero. The point on non-indexed is to preserve the overall level of the funding, the overall level of such deposits. So, going forward, the indexed part is modeled more or less in a similar way to the profile of the market rates. The non-indexed part is modeled keeping rates at a beta which is consistent with the past, but volumes declining. And this decline of volumes is compensated by increase in time deposits and in other forms, which of course bear a cost much closer to market levels. So this is the detail of the various parameters of the equation explaining the behavior of deposits. As Giuseppe was saying, in the new the expected environment of stable and then declining rates, it makes more sense to concentrate on behavioral elements on top of pure rate sensitivity to try to provide a profile, an overall profile of the deposit base. On fees, yes, we are expecting to have a positive contribution from internalization of bancassurance, which allowing us to preserve the overall margin, 100% of the margin, will lead to higher contribution of fees from this respect. Then, in terms of total upfront on total sales of savings product and total running, we don't expect important impacts. These are modeled at levels that are similar to what we had in the recent past.
Also in this case, if I may add something about asset under management, as we showed, we forecast an increase of 250 million, but is evenly split between commission and income from the product factory. A part of it comes from the market behavior. So is an effort, of course, that should tend to reach our natural market share also in deposit, which is 5.5% vis-a-vis the 4% of asset under management that we now have. Why we are so confident? Because we have already increased over the last 3 years 13 billion of new deposit. Now the effort is to deploy in more asset under management, but we will be helped by the interest income environment declining and helping the switch between asset under custody, asset under management.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for the time. I have, I think, four questions. The first question on the shape of your net income targets by year. If I understand rightly, your target of 6 billion implies more than 1.5 or 1.6 billion in each of 24 and 25. Is that correct? Is that too ambitious, or, you know, is it something to, should we expect that the net income would go down in 26 versus 25? So that's the first question. Then on the NII growth, you know, I think it's based on a loan CAGR of 1%. I was just wondering if there's optionality there to deliver more loan growth. Third question on, you know, the systemic charges. Can you clarify what you have in built in the P&L? You know, are they going down to zero fully, or should we still assume something in 2025, 26? And then on the CET1 ratio, you know, I think there is some DTA absorption that should be a positive for the ratio. I wonder if you could quantify what's included in your numbers. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Hugo. Yes, you want to know basically year by year the net income target. Of course, it's not so frequent to have all these details. I think we already have out two very clear target and guidance about 23 and 24. I just mentioned that we confirm, of course, the guidance on 2023 and 24, with the exception of the extraordinary income coming from the payment service transaction, which net for net, eliminating the extra cost for early retirement scheme, I mentioned before, is more or less 400 million. So if you do 90 cents of EPS plus 400 million, I think you can have very easily the 24. Then please don't ask me also the 25, but I can say that there won't be a reduction of 26 and 25. Deliver more loan growth is our business. Normally we grow much more than the market. The consideration that we have done is only that in a very low market like we experienced 23 and with a GDP growth so low like 0.6, 0.9, 0.9, we don't need to stress and to push on loan growth. But of course, depending on the macro situation, I think we are the most prepared to be immediately exploiting any potential macro benefit and deploy more loan growth. Let's say that this is something we wanted more to stress our prudent approach to plan in terms of volumes. Systemic charge, maybe Eduardo has some details, but I think that we have zero in 26. Chat one, quantify the positives. Maybe Eduardo, you want to go?
Okay, yes, the systemic charge is one of the easiest number to remember in our backups because they go down to zero starting from 2025. You may imagine some marginal adjustments due to the second order effect, so based on the overall behavior of the deposit base, but unless changes in the current regulations are introduced, which is not factored into the plan. We don't expect this to produce any impact. Positives in the evolution of CET1 is probably same as your first question. So net income throughout the various years, this is the most important positive component. The rest is in the profile between end of this year and 2026 is help to organic capital growth, capital generation with capital market transactions, especially in terms of synthetic securitization, where the 40 bips are exactly the translation into capital of the savings in RWA progressively amortized due to the maturity over time of securitized portfolios.
The next question is from Adele Palama from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. Few questions from me, really just follow up. So, first one is on the P&L. What is the assumption on trading income that you have in your revenues in 2026? Then on the EBA guidelines, I'm not sure if I remember correctly, but in the past I think you mentioned that EBA guideline might reduce the Basel IV impact. However, I see that the regulatory headwind are actually increasing in comparison to the past, because in the past you had around 80 basis points for Basel IV, if I remember correctly, while now you have 130. I understand that there is a component from Danish compromise, but given that you haven't received the EBA guidelines, is there a possibility that those EBA guidelines might reduce that 130 basis point? Then on cost of risk for 2024, I just didn't catch the guidance. So you have a 1.3% default rate expected. So which is the cost of risk guidance for 2024? And then I missed a number, but given that you're expecting or you're projecting an increase in time deposits, what's your deposit beta assumption through the plan into your NII? Thanks.
Okay. So in NFR, you probably remember that in the last few quarters we gave transparency to the market on the behavior of NFR, which includes also the negative component cost of funding generated by certificates. So due to this negative component, we have a negative amount of NFR in end of the plan, which is around 150 million negative, which is again attributable to the cost of funding component of certificates. Basel IV Yes, we remember very well what we gave to the market in the previous plan, and it was 115 tailwinds and headwinds becoming 80 net after Danish compromise impact is recognized. What is the change? What is the moving part here? It is that in the old plan, Basel IV created a headwind, a tailwind for Danish compromise, which originally entered at a risk weight of 370, and then after Basel IV was transformed into 250. So this is a tailwind. Now, according to the interpretation of the rules and the overall position of our portfolio, the Danish compromise enters at 100% risk weight in the current regulatory environment, ending up at 250. So the landing point is the same, whilst the starting point is different. Now it is a headwind. Stripping out this headwind, 130 becomes 100, which compares with the original 115 of the previous plan, and which we believe is a prudent estimate of what can happen in the Basel IV environment. So we will definitely deploy managerial actions in the lending portfolio aimed to further reduce, if possible, this impact. On the beta on and time deposits, I don't have too much to add to the answer of the previous question. So deposits are decomposed in two basic elements, current accounts are decomposed in two basic elements. One is 20% to 25% of the deposit base that is high beta, something like 80%, and which is indexed. The remaining part is 70 to 75, which is low beta and is not indexed. In this case, is less than 10%, is single digit. Out of these non-indexed, we convert to preserve the deposit base something like 9 billion by the end of the plan, which instead of having a very low cost, will bear a cost which is closer to market rates, below market rates, but closer to market rates. So this is the modeling of the deposit base.
For, I think there is the last one, that is the coherence between default rate and guidance, if I understood well. The 1.3, of course, is 24, 0.9 is in 26. Of course, then we will have a bit of increase in 24 as a forecast of cost of risk, I think in the region of 60, and then coming back to 45 through the next 2 years.
Thanks a lot.
There are no more questions registered at this time.
Ok,
bene, grazie a tutti, grazie per essere stati pazienti e attenti alla presentazione del piano. Chiaramente sapete che ci sono altri appuntamenti in questi giorni e quindi speriamo di rivedervi con ancora più dettagli. Grazie ancora, buongiorno.